week when we were praying and fasting, and I picked a book out of my library that I haven't read in a while called Praying Circles Around Your Children. I begin to pray for my children, for my grandchildren, for your children, for the youth. And then Thursday night, we just had an incredible night here. And the young people that just devoted their lives to the work of the Lord. And I thought, this is just beautiful. And I felt inspired to get a bunch of these books. They're a small book. And I want to give them to parents with children. I don't have enough to give for you to take to your neighbor, but this is for parents. So guys, will you help me? If you're a parent with children and you want, it's called Praying Circles Around Your Children by Mark Batterson. He wrote a great book called The Circle Maker, and it's about praying for your kids and really having that influence on your children. And it'll take you about 45, 50 minutes to read this, but it'll make a profound influence in your home, in your family. And if we run out of them, let Aaron Martin over there, let her know, and I'll get you one if we don't have enough of them today. And also in the back, you got to pay for this one. I don't know how much it is, but 21 Seconds to Change Your World. The books that you read this year and the people that you associate with will have an influence on your life. This is one of the greatest books right now on the market. It's moving up to be a New York Times bestseller. Dr. Mark Rutland, he's part of Jensen Franklin's church and taught a class that I was in over the year. And it was just an incredible, incredible move in my life. Also in your bulletin, there's a small card. It's a prayer request card. If you look over to my left and your right, you'll see this frame. And it's got prayer requests put up all over it. People have been praying over them all week. If you have a prayer need, we're going to leave that up all month. We're going to have prayer times throughout the month. Fill that out. We're going to have communion at the end. We're doing it a little different this morning where we're going to line up across the front. And you're going to come down and receive the communion here. If you want to fill one of these out, you can put it up on there. Or you can leave it on the table. Somebody will put it up later. But let's believe God. Write a prayer request. Write a dream that you have. Write something down. Maybe you want to move from, you know, where you are to another. You've got a desire. Write it down. People will be praying over it. And let's watch the Lord do something great in our life. Aaron, did you have enough or did you run out? Did anybody not get one? Wave your hand if you didn't get one. There's some more there. Aaron, you gotta get their name. Just go right now while I'm preaching and write their name down and get it. There's somebody back over there too. We want you to have one. Father, just for the next few minutes, take this and use it for your glory, I pray, in the name of Jesus. And everyone said, amen. I'm just going to be just a couple moments today, and I believe the word of the Lord will encourage your heart. Rufus, stay right up there. Stay right in that vein that you're at. You're blessing me, brother. I appreciate Rufus helping us and being a part of it here. As I do Debbie, and I love Pamela and Annie and Paulie on the guitar, Micah and Jonathan and Rufus and Benjamin and Jose and all the singers. They're a blessing to our lives, aren't they, though? Really are. Let me read this, and it won't be up on the screen, but I want to read this scripture to you out of Revelation 21. He said that this is the God's nature, and this is his heart. It says he'll wipe away every tear from their eyes. And there'll be no more death or mourning or crying or pain. He's talking about heaven. He said, for the old order of things is past. And he who is seated on the throne said, I am making everything new. This is the nature of who God is. And when you close your eyes and you open them up in heaven, that's the first thing that God will say. I'm making all things brand new. There will be no cancer. There will be no more pain. There will be no more feelings of failure. Being dissatisfied, he'll wipe all that away and make you brand new. Somebody over there had their hand up for a book. Do you have that? Okay, I don't want to miss anyone. And this is the word, this is the scripture, the focus that we're going to use for this month on this series called Closer. It's in James 4:8, and I'm reading out of the God's Word translation. It says, come close to God, and he will come close to you. I love that. Psalm 145:18 says, the Lord is near to all them that call on him and to all that call on him in truth. Hebrews 4:16 says, let us draw near with confidence to the throne of grace, that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in time of need. And I'm reminded at this moment of the year, this is a new season. What the Lord showed me this week, a reset that's going on in some people's lives, that you can make all the resolutions that you want, but if you don't have a reset in your heart, something that changes on the inside of you, nothing is going to change around you. You can make all the resolutions they want. I was watching news and they were talking about people that went to Times Square for New Year's Eve, and some were saying it's such a monumental move for us because we write our resolutions down and we just believe because we came here that all that's going to happen. Really. And I talked to a guy this week that went there, and I said, he said, we couldn't get in, but we went in after the ball dropped. I said, now tell me, what was it like? He said, I never have been to such a dirty and disgusting area in my entire life. You know, people are standing out there 15 hours. Need I say any more? But God wants to make a change on the inside of you and I. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, therefore, if any man is in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. And behold, all things are brand new. You see, real Christianity isn't doing over and over again what never really worked in our lives. Real Christianity and coming to God and trusting Him with our lives and our future is letting Him come closer to us and transforming us from the inside out. And when we come closer to Him, He begins to work all that out of us. He begins to change who we are. And there's nothing wrong with doing things on the outside. There's nothing wrong with changing the way you look or the appearance. There's nothing wrong with that. But you can change the way you look. You can put on new clothes. You can do everything you want. But if nothing is different on the inside, nothing has changed. Hebrews 10 verse 16, 17, and 18 says, this is the covenant I'll make with them after that time, says the Lord. I'll put my law in their heart. And I'll write it on their minds. Isn't that beautiful? That God, when we make Him the Lord and the master of our life, He doesn't just begin to say, oh, you can't wear that anymore. And you got to cut your hair. You got to take out that ring. Or you can't have this. No, He begins to put His law, His word on your heart. And everything begins to change. And your heart begins to transition then to your mind. And then the Bible says, He adds, their sins and their lawless acts, I will remember no more. Now, come on, that's something to be happy about today. And He says, and where these have been forgiven, there is no more sacrifice for sin. You can't feel bad enough. You can't go low enough. And there's people that want to make you feel, you know, if you've messed up and you came from here, or you've been this or you've done that, that you're going to pay for that. And God's waiting for you to club you over the head when He sees you. And you might just, well, get ready now. No. He comes to you. And when you invite Him into your life, He begins to put His law in your heart. And He writes them on your mind. And then He takes your sin and your lawless acts. And there's not a person in this room or at the sound of my voice that hasn't sinned or committed a lawless act, but He takes them and He puts them all away. Behold, I said earlier, the Lamb of God who doesn't cover them, hide them, He takes the sin away from the world. Takes it away. And you've been forgiven. And you're not who you used to be. And you can try every external thing you can do to try to make it right. But until you let Him work on the inside and you come closer to Him, nothing changes. Hebrews 10:19 says, therefore, brothers and sisters, since we have confidence to enter the most holy place by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way opened up for us through the curtain that is His body. Listen to that. By a new and living way opened for us through the curtain that is His body. And since we have a great high priest over the house of God, let us, look at it again, draw near to God with a sincere heart and with the full assurance that faith brings, having our hearts sprinkled to cleanse us from the guilty conscience and having our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess, for He who promised is faithful. Woo! Come on. There's three let us in here. Let us draw near. Let us hold. And then he says, then let us consider how we may spur one another on towards love and good deeds. Not giving up meeting together as the manner of some are doing, but encouraging one another. And then all the more as you see the day approaching. What is that day? It's the day of the Lord. I don't know whether he's going to come back while we're alive. You know, we've heard people predict and give a year that he's coming back for, I've heard it for 25 years now. Jesus is coming back in 1988. Then he's coming back in 1992. And then he's coming back in 1994. And if anyone stands up and says this is the time he's coming back, run so far from that teaching and that person that you won't see him ever again. Because the Bible says no man, not even the angels, know the hour or the time. But I can tell you one thing for sure. He is coming back. And whether he comes back while we're here and the scripture is fulfilled, that at the trump of the Lord will sound and those who are dead will rise first, and we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. That is the day of the Lord. Or it's like Ryan was saying this morning, you go home to be with the Lord. You die here on earth and you meet the Lord. To be absent from the body is to be present from the Lord. There is a day approaching. And you can't escape it. But what's he say? Encourage one another about that. Man, hey brother, it's so good to see you today. Lay a hug on another brother. Tell him, man, you make me complete when I see you. I don't do as good when you're not around me. And I mean that. I'm saying that to every one of you. When I see you, I do better. When I don't see some of you, I don't do as good. I want to encourage you. I need you in my life. And the more that we see the day approaching every single day of our lives, we know we need one another more. Come on, say amen to that today. I'm telling you the truth. And if all you live for is you, you're going to live an itty-bitty little life. But if you begin to live for others, your life will increase and you'll find the fulfillment and you'll find the promise and you'll find who God has called and created you to be. Hallelujah. I just want to give, I'm going to close on these four little thoughts about what being closer means. Closer means worshiping God. In the Old Testament, the Hebrew means to come and bow down. In the New Testament, it means to kiss towards. It means to come closer. It means to go forward. And if we're going to come closer to him, we can't do that at a distance. And I'm not talking about just the times you come into the church and you got all the musicians and the singers singing. Oh, I love that. I'm talking about at the most difficult moment of your week when there's no music around, when there's no organ, there's no piano, there's no guitar, and you need to worship him. You need to lean in and kiss the face of God. Oh, I love the story. It's not on the screen. I was reminded of it this morning in Genesis chapter 22. It's the first mention of worship in the whole Bible. And it came to pass after these things that God tested Abraham and said to him, Abraham, and he said, here I am. Well, worship and testing in the same sentence? Verse 2, it says, then he said, take your son. Now, if Abraham just heard that, he'd think, two sons, Isaac, Ishmael. Sarah's telling him he's got to move Ishmael out of the house anyways. I'll take Ishmael. This will be easy. Take your son, your only son. No, take your son, your only son. Well, I have two sons, Lord. And then he says, take the one whom you love. I love them both, Lord. And then he says, take Isaac. He pinpoints that down. And he said, go to the land of Moriah and offer him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains in which I will tell you. And Abraham rose early in the morning, saddled his donkey, and took two of his young men with him and Isaac, his son. And he split the wood for the burnt offering and arose and went to the place of which God had told him. And then on the third day, everybody say third day, Abraham lifted his eyes and saw the place afar off. And Abraham said to his young men, stay here with the donkey and the lad, and I will go yonder and I will worship and we will come back. You know the end of the story, that he took him up there. He built the fire. He laid his son whom he loved, on that altar. And when he began to raise that instrument to take and shed the blood of his son whom he loved, God said, stop. I wanted to know where you were in the area of your worship. Can you bring what is so precious to you to him today? Because he just doesn't want your leftovers when it comes to worship. He wants the best. He wants what you love. He wants the deep who you are to come to him and worship him. I want to ask you that today. If you're going to come closer to him, there's no more part-time in this. That's all over with. Are you listening to me today? That's all over with. We're living in a time. We got people running up to policemen and shooting them while they're sitting in the car. We got people running around with knives and hatchets. We got to put cameras up around here and hire policemen to come here to make sure that there's peace all around. We are living in a time that is different than we ever have been. And it's a time for you and I to come closer to him in everything that we do. Come on today. And if you're going to worship, you're going to give him your best. You're not going to give him half-hearted. You're not going to give him just your leftover. Come on, people of God. Did he give you his leftover? Did he give you his best? We're going to get closer to him. We're going to give him our best. And I love the New Testament expression in worship. He comes to this woman. She's had a troubling past. She's had an issue with men. He comes to her and he challenges her about the man that she's with. And he says, that's not your husband. He's number six on your list of men that you've had illicit relationships with. But he doesn't condemn her. He doesn't try to explain it all to her and go into a long dissertation and counseling about how she didn't get love from her father and that's why she was active. He didn't do any of that. I'm not saying there's anything wrong with that, but there is a time that happens in our lives where Jesus comes to our heart and to our lives. He says there's coming a time, and now is, that true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth, for they're the kind of worshipers the Father seeks. They are the kind that will give God their best and what they love and nothing less. Oh, I like that right now. I'm about ready to preach myself happy up in here. Come close to God. He'll come close to you. Come close to him. Give him everything. In your best worship, is that your best? I saw that movie. I think Ryan said it last week. We went over to his house, saw that movie, Facing the Giants. I wept. My gosh, I didn't have any more tears. And that's one of my favorite movies. And when they're on that football field and that guy gets on the other guy's back and he's just down on it. Give me your best. Is that your best? Is that, can you do better? You give me your best. I told Chris this week, we're coming back to the church. We're going to get somebody, we're going to get them on your back. You're going to go across the parking lot. We'll be down there. Is that your best? He says, why has it got to be me, Pastor? Number two, closer means feeding daily. Joshua 1:8, don't let the book of the law depart out of your mouth, but you shall meditate upon it day and night. Then shall your ways be made prosperous. Then you shall have good success. You can't look at the Word of God just once in a while or wait till Sunday or forget it and leave it in your car. You got to have it going in your heart every single day. Whether you read it, whether you listen to it, whether you watch it, you got to feed on His Word every single day. Every day, come closer to Him. Number three, come closer. Closer means serving. And I like this. 1 Peter 4:10 says, each one should use whatever gift he has received to serve yourself. Wait a minute. What's it say? Others. What gift has God given you to serve others with? He says, faithfully administering God's grace in its various forms. What is your gift? Some of you will experience the greatest growth in your life when you begin to serve in the area that God has called you to. And then you say, well, I don't know what that is. You got to start somewhere. You start somewhere. Open the door up. Sweep the floor. Ask Chris, can I sweep in the sidewalk? Or, can I help on the bus? Can I serve with the children, with the youth, with the young adult, with the men? What can I do but serve? And last, number four, closer means connection. You can't be on your own anymore. Well, I'm just going to do it my way. Your way won't work. You've done it on your own long enough. Who am I talking to right now? I know when I hear that, just something hits me. They say, well, I'm going to do it on my own. No, you're not. You've never worked it on your own. You need others. Hebrews 10:25, I read it already. Let's consider how we can spur, encourage one another towards love and good deeds, not giving up on meeting together as the habit of some, but encouraging one another. And all the more as you see the day approaching, you need others. James 5:16, confess your sins to each other. That's a notable fact right there. Well, I don't have anybody I can talk to. You want to know why? Because you haven't disciplined yourself to connect with anybody that you can talk to. Confess your sins to one another. Pray that you may be healed. You need God. You need others. You got to worship. You got to serve. You got to connect. You got to read. You got to feed. You got to do these things on a regular basis. Come on. Come on. We're going to come closer to Him. We're going to come closer. I want Todd and Cheryl. I want Debbie and Ryan. I want Ryan, honey, I want you to help. With Braddy, I want you to help. I want Chris, I want you to help. Come on down here. Grab a tray. Thank you, God. Micah and Nicole, I want you to come. Grab a tray. I don't know if we got trays left. I like that. We ran out of trays. That's all right. You stay down here with me anyways. I like you guys around me. I want you to come. We're going to receive communion in a different way. I want you to come. I want you to take the cup and the bread. You can stay down here. You can bring a prayer request. You can leave it off the side. We'll partake of it together in just a moment. And I believe the Lord's going to do something. When you take it, hold it. If there's an issue between you and God or you and another, this is a moment in your life. You can work that out. We don't have to go into a long liturgy of how-tos. Simply, I'm sorry, Lord, would you forgive me, is where you start. Praise you, Lord. Beautiful presence of the Lord in the house right now. Beautiful, beautiful, beautiful. Some of you today, when you receive this, your life is going to be altered. Again, you can take it back to your seat. You can stay up front and go over by the prayer board. You can go over the side. You can do anything you'd like to today. We're just going to partake together and then we're going to close. We're a couple minutes over. Thank you for bearing with us today. I believe it was our time was so well worth it and so valued to be here together in His house today. Grace, grace, grace. We love you, Lord. We praise your holy name, God. We praise your holy name, Lord. Oh, grace, grace. some of the trays, if they're empty, just go down the line, because not everybody is empty through here. If one of the people standing here that you come to doesn't have the bread, you come and walk right down through, because there's more bread down the line here. You and God this morning. Brand new year, brand new chance, a reset in your life. Make all things new again. Some of you have gone through loss this year. He wants to help you to cope with that, to deal with that. Give you great grace that'll lift you up and strengthen you. There's coming a day, sooner than later, you're going to see the hand of God do something so powerful and so great, you're not going to even fathom it, right? Thank you, Lord God. Let's take the bread. His body. The Bible says, and we read it in Hebrews this morning, that he made a way, that is through his body. The Bible says that when he died on the cross, the veil was rent in the temple from top to bottom. It signified that his body was shed, it was open. And that now he opened up any and every way that we need to get to God. He provided a way. He provided a way that no matter where you come from, how much baggage you're carrying, he's more than enough for that. He took bread. He blessed it. He broke it. He gave thanks and he gave it. He said, "This is my body. This has been broken for you. Take it. Eat it, every one of you. And remember what I've done." Let's partake the bread of the Lord. Same way he took the cup. Hallelujah. For the blood of Jesus. You know, it was the blood that washed you. The Bible says, "And while ye were yet sinners, Christ died for you." He shed his blood. When I was just a little boy running up and down Mechanic Street in South Byron, I never even knew it, but Jesus, he'd shed his blood for me. And one day I'd receive it. And he cleansed me from every sin. Not only the ones that I committed, but the ones that were imputed to me in my bloodline. He'd wash me and make me clean. He's done that for you today. A new and a living way. He took the cup. He said, "This is my blood. It's been poured out for you. Take it, drink it, every one of you, and remember what I've done. Let's partake of the cup of the Lord. Hallelujah. We love you, Lord. We thank you, God. I want prayer people to come down to the front. I'm going to close in prayer, and if you need somebody just to agree with you in an area of your life, you're struggling with something, you just need just a little more help, they want to stand and pray with you, believe God with you, see something great happen in your life. If you gave your life to Christ today, if you just sat there and you said, God, I want you in my life, come down and tell them about it. They want to give you a Bible, pray for you. Father, today, I thank you for your love. I thank you for your blood that was shed. Thank you for that great grace. I declare blessing. I declare favor and peace over my brothers and my sisters today in Jesus' name. Everyone said amen. I love you so much. Go in his grace today. Know that he loves you. This Thursday night, Shandy and Jessica will be sharing about their trip to Ethiopia. I hope you can come out at 7 o'clock.